You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Welcome to the Religious Liberty Report, a weekly news briefing on religious liberty news, a program hoping to educate, encourage, support, and equip you, our listeners, on important issues of our day, but always approaching the issues from a biblical worldview.
Welcome to the Religious Liberty Report, Alexander Alfano reporting, this third week of August, 2024. Psalm 119, verse 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to the mouth. Psalm 138, verse 8. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Psalm 138, verse 8. Thank you for tuning in. For us, a privilege, an honor to have you on the Religious Liberty Report. Did you know that there has been more data produced in the last 2 years than in the whole of human history? An ocean of data, of information, more turbulent every single day. And the only tools we have to navigate through this data is the Word of God, the discerning spirit, which leads us to critical thinking. Karl Marx infamously said that if you want to take over a generation, you start by erasing their history, their legacy. Ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what the enemy is doing today, trying to erase our identity, our Christian identity, as individuals, as families, as communities, as a nation. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report, Alexander Alfano reporting, in this third week of August, 2024. We are a legal organization committed to protecting religious freedom, free speech, traditional marriage, parental rights, and the sanctity of life. The Religious Liberty Report is a radio broadcast and podcast, hoping to help equip you, prepare you to confront the culture. On the air, working to keep America open to God's truth. The First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. It prevents the government of the United States from privileging one religion over another. Protecting each and every one of us, as American citizens, to believe whatever we choose or choose not to believe, about what God thinks, what God approves of, or blesses. The First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, protecting our democracy from becoming a theocracy. We've seen theocracies across the world, around the world, that only result in sectarian violence, religious wars. We know that true religious freedom is that you be free to believe or not believe about what God thinks, approves, or blesses. This is true religious freedom, a founding principle of our nation, enshrined in our Constitution. Religious liberty, religious freedom, the first freedom of the United States. First, as we like to say, not just because it's in the First Amendment, but because it's a logical priority. Without freedom of conscience, we have no other liberties. Throughout history, Christians have faced demands to be silent. They've been marginalized, persecuted, And throughout history, Christians have refused to remain silent or just stand down. The word martyr, derived from the Greek word meaning witness, a witness for Christ. You're tuned in to the Religious Liberty Report, a radio broadcast intended to help equip believers, churches, on how to remain faithful to our mission in a culture too often disagreeing with our message. It's no secret we live in a culture that is aggressively challenging our faith. Almost everywhere we look, at every turn. Yet we are called to exhibit grace, knowing that faith, religion, is a source of controversy, causing fierce debates. As we address the many issues, brothers and sisters, we must do so without sacrificing grace and compassion for the world and the lost. As we fight, which we must, to protect marriage, to protect our families, to protect our children, we must not sacrifice our Christian testimony. Discussing the issues without sacrificing love, guarding against becoming combative. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report, third week of August, 2024. A lot to report this week. But before we do, brothers and sisters, I will remind you, oftentimes we fail to value a moment in time until it has become a memory. Brothers and sisters, remember, we are being watched more for what we do than what we say. Sure, they hear what we say, but they see more what we do. What we do, brothers and sisters, echoes into eternity. No matter what you are going through today, don't quit. Do not be defeated. Do the best you can. Remember, giving up is not who you are. Sure, you may pause, take a long breath, pivot, but then keep going. In faith and by God's grace, you will overcome. You will be at peace again soon if you trust in God and are patient. Stand up for what is right, even if you must stand alone. Thanking God here on the Religious Liberty Report for the trials, the difficulties that we may be walking through now. Such difficulties and such trials are making us into the people God intends for us to be. Let us fight the good fight, finish the race, and keep the faith. How do you view this world? Your worldview determines who you are. So here you have the four great questions of life. Number one, who am I? Who am I? Who are you? Number two, where did I come from? Where did you come from? Number three, why am I here? Why are you here? Alive, today, now, here. And number four, where am I going when I die? Where are you going when you die? the four great questions of life, the answers to which provide us with our worldview, how we view this world, this life. Turning the page on the Religious Liberty Report, this week, the Supreme Court of the United States blocking Title IX as Biden and his administration would have interpreted it. Reporting out of Washington, D.C., the U.S. Supreme Court voted 9-0 to uphold preliminary injunctions that block three provisions of the Biden administration's new Title IX final rule. Provisions put forth by the Biden administration that would include new definitions for sex discrimination to include discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation, gender identity. Justices 9-0 upholding injunctions blocking the Biden administration's new Title IX final rule. And to remind you, Title IX of the Civil Rights Act reformed education in the United States in 1972, providing equal opportunities for men and women and preventing sex discrimination. Title IX. But the Biden administration is now trying to force new rules as to how to execute and enforce Title IX, infusing gender identity into the definition of sex, applying sex discrimination protections to those who identify as the opposite gender, forcing women to share private spaces with, I don't know how else to say this, gender-confused males, mandating the use of what they call preferred pronouns in all schools and colleges that receive federal dollars, meant to govern every K-12 school and higher education institution in the United States that accepts federal taxpayer funding. Now we have Title IX, this final rule, blocked yet again at the Supreme Court level this past week. A victory for freedom. A victory for America. A 9-0 vote by the Supreme Court. However, the matter's not resolved definitively, as this was just a ruling on a preliminary injunction blocking the enforcement of the Biden rule on Title IX. But the matter continues to work itself out in the courts. Altogether, Title IX, this final rule that the Biden administration has put forth, has been blocked in 26 states, including Florida. We'll continue to monitor the Biden administration final rule on the interpretation and enforcement of Title IX. A government and an administration, an education department wanting to strip privacy, safety, fairness from females in schools, ignoring reality, science, and really common sense. The Supreme Court of the United States confirming that the Biden administration Title IX rewrite is contrary to the law. Men have no business entering female spaces, private spaces, such as restrooms, locker rooms, showers, or participating on girls' sports teams. Turning the page on the report, appeals court upholds religious schools' employment freedom. The Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals recently ruled, I'll remind you that the United States is divided into 11, really 12 circuits, the 12th being D.C., Washington, D.C., 12 circuits, and this is the second appellate level from the trial level, which would be the district courts across the United States. The circuit court level are circuit courts of appeals. Well, the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals consists of South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, and West Virginia. Also, we have, if I'm not mistaken, yeah, Maryland as well. The Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals recently ruled in favor of the Diocese of Charlotte, North Carolina, protecting the freedom of religious schools to employ school teachers who will uphold the religious beliefs of that religious school. The case, entitled Billard versus Diocese of Charlotte, the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals overturned a lower court ruling reaffirming Charlotte Catholic High School's religious freedom. All this a result of a lawsuit brought by a former high school teacher at Charlotte Catholic High School who was fired after he entered into a same-sex relationship that conflicted with the school's belief about marriage and sexuality. In its ruling, the Fourth Circuit stated that the First Amendment requires civil courts to stay out of employment disputes involving ministers, those holding certain important positions with churches and other religious institutions. The court found that Billard was a minister, according to this definition, because Charlotte Catholic requires its teachers to model and promote Catholic faith and morals. So, another victory for religious freedom, freedom of conscience. A common sense ruling by the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, protecting a fundamental religious liberty of faith-based organizations to employ people who align with their mission. Common sense. Well, in the law, it's called the ministerial exception, allowing religious institutions to decide who to employ and who will represent their organization. Turning the page on the report. The Democratic National Convention coming to a close in Chicago. Attendees reiterating their commitment to Kamala Harris, nominating her to run as the party's candidate for president, and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz as her running mate. All this in a purely ceremonial roll call vote. Speeches from top voices in the Democratic Party working to energize a radical base of voters, demeaning the Republican Party, with one speaker going as far as to call the GOP a cult. In a speech by Bernie Sanders, Vermont senator, he stated that Harris and her agenda is not at all radical. But we can look at the records of both Harris and Walz and see a long history of supporting abortion up to birth, denying parental rights related to our children's health and education, especially on LGBTQ issues, as well as opposing life-saving care for infants who are born alive as a result of a failed abortion. From where I stand, from where we stand, it can easily be seen how the Democratic Party platform clearly embraces abortion without limits in most cases, a ban on Christian counseling for youth who struggle with gender confusion, and more extremist policies. One longtime Democratic billionaire hedge fund manager Bill Ackman called for voters to deal Democrats a, quote, a massive loss in the November election, so that the party will, quote, reform itself. From a longtime Democrat donor, he is now endorsing former President Donald Trump, saying that the Democratic Party needs a reboot He wrote on X, "The best thing that can happen for long-term supporters of the Democratic Party is for this election to be a massive loss for the party. That's the only way this party will reform itself." Billionaire hedge fund manager and longtime Democrat donor Bill Ackman, posting on X. He cautions Americans to vote accordingly. When something is totally and fundamentally broken, the best thing to do is to start over. Mr. Ackman says we won't see a reboot of the Democratic Party unless it takes a massive loss in November. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report. Reporting on the Democratic National Convention, some commentators, observers, saying that the Democrats seek to rewrite the Constitution to overhaul the U.S. Supreme Court, to place term limits on Supreme Court justices, simply because they're not getting their way at the Supreme Court, threatening to eliminate the filibuster, simply because they're not getting their way in the U.S. Congress, working to institute price controls, inflate the currency, nationalize health care, cut the military, trans our kids, provide abortion on demand up until birth in all 50 states, enshrining voting procedures that facilitate fraud, opening the border, offering amnesty to up to 15 million undocumented aliens. Don't tell me that none of this matters. Don't tell me that I should just ignore all of this and just flow in the moment. Don't tell me that politics should be treated as a game show. No, no, it's not a game show. Politics always and forever is about what people in power do with power. It's about what you will do with that power. It's about whether you want certain people to be in charge of our country, to set the rules for the economy, to set the rules internationally. That's the thing we should all be focused on. But there does seem to be a lot of insanity going on, and it can all be quite agitating. And sometimes, most times, the best way to calm down is with prayer and fasting. One commentator said that maybe we are just spoiled by the fact that we live in the richest time in American history. Maybe we're spoiled by the fact that we are not living in an existential threat or conflict. Maybe we're just so distracted that politics has become a popularity contest. One commentator said that if that's the case, then we get what all failing republics deserve. But as believers, brothers and sisters, we know that our leaders and what they do with power absolutely matters. We are worried about our future, our kids' future, about our country. It should be insulting, deeply, profoundly insulting, what is happening right now in our nation. And if you don't feel insulted, maybe, just maybe, it's because you're not paying attention. In fact, some of you may be caught up in the game show yourselves. And at that point, you know, maybe that commentator is right, that America will get what America deserves. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report. Alexander Alfano reporting. This third week of August, 2024. And now a message from one of our friends in the community, South Florida Bible College and Theological Seminary. Whether you're looking to lead in business, counsel with compassion, run a church, or enrich your spiritual life. At South Florida Bible College, they have new programs designed just for you, online or in person on campus in Deerfield Beach, Florida. Introducing their Master's in Business Administration, Master's in Mental Health Counseling, and Doctor in Ministry. Aim high with a degree that will set you apart at South Florida Bible College, offering undergraduate, graduate, and doctoral degrees. Available online or on campus. Over 20 total programs, 10 graduate programs, and 2 doctoral programs offered at South Florida Bible College in Deerfield Beach, Florida. A wide range of programs in ministry, theology, business, counseling, from associate to doctoral levels, available both online and on campus in Deerfield Beach, Florida. Profiled as one of the top 10 most affordable Bible colleges in the United States, South Florida Bible College providing quality education at an affordable price with scholarship opportunities just a click away. Let nothing stop you from pursuing your dreams at South Florida Bible College and Theological Seminary, fully accredited and ready to serve you. Visit them online at sfbc.edu. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, we read, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, we read, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Jesus never promised his followers an easy path. In fact, he told his disciples that the world would hate them. Jesus sent them out as sheep among wolves. Jesus' words came true in the lives of his apostles, and they're still coming true today in the lives of his followers around the world. Thank you for joining me on the Religious Liberty Report in this third week of August, 2024. Thank you for the honor of addressing you on the report. For me, an inspiration, a real honor to bring you this weekly report. So, beloved, I leave you with this. Quoting Jude, verse 3, "Although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write, appealing to you to contend for the faith that once for all has been delivered to the saints." Jude, verse 3. Signing off this week on the Religious Liberty Report. Catch us next week on this live and local Christian radio station at the same time and same day of the week, Saturdays at 1, or you can catch us on your favorite podcatcher. Just search for the Religious Liberty Report. God bless you, and God bless America.
Thank you for tuning in to the Religious Liberty Report, a broadcast intended to help equip churches and ministries on how to remain faithful to our mission in a culture that too often disagrees with our message. Tune in next week as we follow up on freedom of conscience, because without freedom of conscience, we have no other liberties. Alexander Alfano reporting for the Religious Liberty Report.